Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning and that you're interested in studying the Bible together. Thank you very much for being with us and for putting spiritual things first on this Sunday morning. We would also like for you to come worship with us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We would love to have you. You would be our honored guest where we speak the truth in love. We're conveniently located in town on 290 Warfield Boulevard. So come be with us. We would love to have you. This morning, I want to talk about the importance of not delaying and putting off our relationship with God. We live in a world today where so many people are wrapped up with the things of this life, and they are not taking care of the sin that is in their life. And so I asked the question this morning, why do you wait, dear sinner? We sing that question in our songbooks. Why do you wait, dear sinner? Let's not put off what is important and what we need to be doing today. In Psalm 119, in verse 59, the psalmist writes, I thought on my ways and turned unto my feet, unto thy testimonies, and I made haste and delayed not to observe thy commandments. Notice, he wrote, I made haste and delayed not to observe thy commandments. Procrastination is a major problem today. And I want to encourage us to not wait, but to act and turn to the Lord and observe his commandments. Don't put other things first until you have obeyed the gospel. You've had your sins washed away in baptism, and you are living that faithful Christian life. I would like for us to get back a sense of urgency in our life. The things of this world have dulled the sense of urgency among many. You know, there was a sense of urgency in the ministry of Jesus. He always went about doing good. He always went about preaching the gospel. He tried to save as many sinners as he could. And in John chapter 9, in verse 4, after he had healed the blind man there, we find that he said, we must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And then he told the blind man what to do and go wash in the pool. And he went away and he washed and he came seen. But the night comes when no man can work. I must work the works of him, his Father, that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He had a sense of urgency, a sense of compulsion. Notice that word must. We must. This is something that I must do. You know, there was a sense of urgency in the conversions in the book of Acts. They were baptized often on the same occasion. Sometimes there would be people that would procrastinate, but often there would be people who would act the very moment that they heard the gospel preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. When Peter was preaching, they were pricked in their heart. And on the same occasion, verse 41, Peter said, save yourselves. And there were 3,000 who were baptized. When Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, they're riding along, and he commanded the chariot to stand still so that he could go down into the water and be baptized that very moment. When Paul was preaching to the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 and verse 33, he was baptized in the same hour of the night. There was a sense of urgency that has gotten lost in the 21st century. And even in restoring an erring Christian, a Christian who had allowed sin to enter into his life, there was even a sense of urgency in restoring the erring Christian. When Peter talked with Simon the sorcerer after he had been baptized, Simon wanted to pay money so that he could lay his hands on people and give them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said that you have neither part nor lot in that matter. That was not for him. That was for the apostles. And Peter wanted to immediately correct that situation. Peter said to Simon, "Thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this manner, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee." It didn't drag on for days and weeks and months. And so we need to get back that sense of urgency. Friend, where is your sense of urgency? Where is that? Now, it is true that some were not urgent. They put off. Felix put it off. Agrippa was almost a Christian. Felix said to Paul, "Go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call you." Acts 24, again, Acts 26. There were some who were not urgent, and that's what we see today. I believe urgency is dulled today by materialism. People just get caught up in the physical and material things of this life. Worldliness, the sinful things of this life, indifference. I think pluralism and the fact that there's all kinds of religions and all kinds of choices dulls urgency to become a Christian. Ignorance can dull urgency. But friends, we need to get that back in our life. And like the psalmist, we need to not delay, but make haste to observe God's commandments. Are you waiting for something, friend? Are you waiting for something? Let's talk about that for just a moment. I think if I were to interview many in Clarksville, I think many would say that, yes, I would like to become a Christian one day. I want to go to heaven. If you were to ask people in Clarksville, do you want to go to heaven or hell? You're probably going to get a majority of people saying, I want to go to heaven. Well, where's your sense of urgency about that? Well, they would probably say, well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for this or that. So I want to explore that for just a moment. What are you waiting for? Let me ask you this. Are you waiting for God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit to do something? Don't wait, because they've already acted on your behalf. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. He already sent his son to die upon the cross. Jesus already died on the cross for the sins of the world. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, Titus 2, 11. God has already given grace. He's already given the gospel. He's already given Jesus Christ on the cross, and the Holy Spirit has already revealed God's truth through the apostles. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3, 9. So God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit have already done what they have intended to do to save you and me. They've already acted on your behalf and mine. It's time now for us to act, friends. We need to get that fire back in our life to get up and do what God wants us to do. Let me ask you this. Are you waiting for family and friends and others to get right? Well, there may be others that need to make changes in their life. But we need to take responsibility for our own selves. We are going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14, 10, 2 Corinthians 5, 10. We're going to stand before God in judgment, and Christ is going to be our judge. And we are going to be judged according to the deeds that we've done in our body. We're not going to be judged based upon family and friends and others and what they need to do or not do or what they've done or haven't done. God's going to be looking at us. I'm reminded of Peter and John and Jesus at the end of the book of John. In John chapter 21, Jesus had been telling John to follow him, that well-known statement or section of scripture there where Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And when that is over with, Peter saw John nearby, and Peter said to Jesus, "What shall this man do?" In other words, what about John? Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me." Peter said, well, what about this guy over here? Jesus said, "Don't worry about him. You follow me." And that's the approach we need to take in life. We may have family and friends and others that need to do this or that, but don't worry about them right now. Do what you need to do to be right with God, even if that means taking the first step. You can be an example for your spouse. You can be an example for your children and brothers and sisters and parents and others. Step forward. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to confess Him. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come, let's worship God together. Take that first step. Get that urgency back in your life. You know, over this past year with this pandemic, there have been a lot of people that were reminded how quickly things can come up in life that change one's life. And some were killed by the pandemic, by the virus. They were here one moment, they're dead the next. We saw the urgency of taking care of viruses. We saw the urgency of being prepared. We saw the urgency of needing good health care. We had to act quickly in certain areas to protect, especially the elderly. And so we saw that over this past year. The same is true, and even more so with spiritual matters. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. We didn't know this virus was going to hit. And it hits, and all of a sudden, people are moving around quickly to deal with things. And it was a reminder of how quickly things can come up if we're unprepared. And if we're unprepared for Jesus to come again, we're going to be lost, friends. We need to get that urgency back in our life. Are you waiting for your life to be put in order? I spoke to a man many years ago about becoming a Christian. He would never become a Christian. His wife was a Christian, and she always attended the church service. He would come some, sometimes he wouldn't. And when I visited him in his home, he said, "Well, Chris, I just want to get some other things worked out in my life first." And he was talking about things at work. Listen, there's plenty of time to set this in order and set that in order, but you start your improvement by becoming a Christian. That's the place to begin. There may be some things in life that have to be straightened up. But when you're baptized into Christ and you are raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 through 5, when you put off that old man in that sinful way and you become a new creature in Christ, that's the beginning of your improvement. There may be some relationships and things at work and so forth that have to get fixed, but that will come in time. In fact, they will get fixed better if you're a Christian first. Put your life in order with God. Things at work and school and other places will take care of themselves. Are you waiting for the hypocrites to go away? Some people are doing that. There are hypocrites everywhere. I spoke on the radio program a few weeks back about hypocrites. They're everywhere. They're in the store, but that doesn't keep us from going to the store. They're at school, but that doesn't keep us from going to school. They're at work, but that doesn't keep us from going to work. And yes, there are hypocrites in the church, but that shouldn't keep us from obeying the gospel and being a faithful Christian ourselves. We've got to be careful about that. There's hypocrites in hell, Matthew 24, 51. There, where they're going to be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we don't want to go be with them there, so we need to make that change now in our life. Don't worry about the hypocrites. Worry about yourself and getting your life right with God. Why do you wait, dear sinner? I'm talking about the person who has never obeyed the gospel at all. I'm also talking about the erring Christian who's fallen back into a sinful lifestyle in the world. Why do you wait, dear sinner? Urgency is what we need today. Let me ask you this. Are you waiting for what friends and family might think? Don't worry about that. Once you learn the gospel message and the gospel truth, put the Lord first over friends and family. Jesus said that we are to love Him more than even mother and father and brother and sister, son and daughter. Matthew 10, 34 through 37. Put Him first. Don't worry about what they think. Worry about what the Lord thinks. We need to be concerned about what pleases God, not what pleases friends and family. Jesus always did the thing that was pleasing to His Father, John 8, 29. Paul was not worried about pleasing men, but Christ, Galatians 1, 10. He didn't go around pleasing men, 1 Thessalonians 2, 4. But preaching the gospel. You know, if we will obey the gospel and we will have a good influence on those around us, they will obey the gospel too. And then you'll have friends and family on the same page as you, faithfully serving the Lord. You can be that light to your friends and family. You can come to Christ first. Be the first one. Get up, step out, take that step. Have that sense of urgency. Act. Act now. And be that light to the friends and family around you and encourage them to do the same. Are you waiting for the need to be saved? Somebody might be thinking, well, I don't need to be saved. Well, let me ask you this. Are you a good person? You might be thinking, well, of course I am. Do you know that in Scripture there were good people who were not saved? Being good alone does not save. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, it says that there were devout men from everywhere under heaven. Devout means God-fearers, but they were still lost in sin and they needed to be baptized into Christ. There were priests, Acts 6 and verse 7, who still needed to be converted to Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch had been to Jerusalem to worship, but he still needed to be baptized into Christ. Cornelius, the centurion, was a good man. He prayed and he gave benevolent help to others. Acts 10, verse 2, but he needed to hear words by which he would be saved. Lydia and her household, they were good people, but she needed to be baptized into Christ. And Paul had lived before God in all good conscience, Acts 23 and 1. He had a good, clean conscience, but he was lost and needed to be saved and be baptized into Christ. And we could go on and on. It's not goodness alone that saves. It's having our sins washed away in baptism and living faithfully each day that saves. Yes, if there is sin in your life and in my life, we need to be saved. Are you waiting for a convenient opportunity? This may never come. When we procrastinate like Felix did in Acts 24 and 25, we may never have that opportunity again. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 that today is the day of salvation. We have today. We have today. But we're not promised a tomorrow. And so act. Contact me so that we can get together and study and baptize you into Christ. Or be with you as you are an erring Christian wanting to repent and pray. I can help you do that. The opportunity may never come again, friend. Today is the day of salvation. Are you waiting for more knowledge? Somebody says, well, I don't know enough. Well, to begin being a Christian, you need to hear the Word of God, hear the gospel, and believe it. You need to have faith, and faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 8:24. You must believe that Jesus is the divine Son of God. You must repent of your sins. Except you repent, you will perish. Luke 13:5. You need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believe that in your heart. Confess that with your mouth. Romans 10:9-10. And you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. And you need to live a faithful Christian life, walking in newness of life. Romans 6:3-5. That's what you need to know right now. I just mentioned to you the basics of what you need to know. There will be time, friend, for growth after you become a Christian. You can learn all of Jesus' commandments, and you can learn each day what to follow and what to do and what not to do. You can add to your faith later knowledge, 2 Peter 1:5. You can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. There will be time for that, Lord willing. But you act upon those steps that you need to take right now. I just mentioned from the Scripture what those things are. Let me encourage you to do that. So we don't need to know everything in the New Testament on day one. We just simply need to know what we need to do to have our sins washed away. And then we go from there. Let me ask you this. Are you waiting for a direct operation of the Holy Spirit or some sort of calling from God? That has been mentioned so many times in the religious world that many people are thinking that. And they're thinking, well, I haven't gotten that yet in my life. Well, the Holy Spirit works through His Word, not some better felt than told direct operation. He works indirectly through His Word. You don't need to be waiting for some warm inner feeling. You don't need to be waiting for some voice in your head where God is allegedly speaking to you. He speaks through His Word. It's the hearing of faith, Galatians 3:2. And Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And God calls through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, not some voice in your head. So don't be waiting for some direct operation or direct calling from God. In fact, the Scriptures that I just mentioned earlier, just a moment ago, that's God calling you. And so don't wait for something else. He's already calling you through His Word. Are you waiting for the Lord to give you faith? Some religious groups have made that point as well, that everything comes from God, even faith, and He gives you your faith. No, your faith is your faith. And faith comes by hearing God's Word. Romans 10:17, Acts 15, verse 7. So when you hear, you can either reject it or accept it. And when you accept it and believe it, you have faith, and then you act upon that faith to do those other things that you need to do, those things that I mentioned earlier. So don't be waiting for God to give you your faith somehow apart from your own will. That's not going to happen. Well, before we close this morning, I want to just quickly talk about some excuses that people give for not being urgent, and they're procrastinating in their life. Some people say, well, I'm enjoying my life now. Well, you need to think, friend, about the coming judgment day. You need to be thinking about the life to come. It's either heaven or hell, and both are eternal. One's a blessing and one's an extreme curse. You don't want hell for eternity. You don't want that. You don't want fire and brimstone for eternity. You don't want to be with the devil and his angels for eternity. We don't need to be thinking just about our life now. We need to be thinking about that which is to come, the life that is to come. And Jesus talks about that. And we need to be right with God to go to heaven. So don't be thinking, well, I'm enjoying my life now. Some people say, well, I'm not good enough. Well, that's the whole point, friends. Jesus came to die on the cross for sinners. And Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. You're not going to be good enough in the sense to merit your own salvation. That's the whole point. We're saved in our sins. In our sins, Jesus died for us. And in Romans chapter 5, God commendeth his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. In our sinful condition right now, Jesus can save us if we will obey his word. Some people say, well, I'm afraid I can't follow through all the way to the end. Well, that's just rubbish. That's just not true. There are many people who, in Bible times and today, who've lived faithfully all through their life. If they committed a sin, they cleared that up and cleaned that up, and they got back to serving the Lord, and they made it all the way through. The Apostle Paul made it all the way through to the end of his life. He finished that race. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8. And you can do it. You can do and go all the way to the end. The book of Hebrews in chapter 11 talks about men and women of faith. You can be like them, and you can live all the way through to the end. I know you can do it. Somebody says, well, I feel that I'm already saved. No. No, we don't go by our feelings. We go by the Word of God. We go by that plan and those steps that God gives us. Somebody says, well, I've already been baptized. And that may be true. There are some denominations and churches that will sprinkle a baby or pour a little water on them. Or maybe in your earlier years, you went through some sort of church baptism that's not scriptural baptism for the remission of sins. You need to do that right the first time. And so these types of things come up, and we always must address them with the Word of God. No more excuses. We're not going to make excuses. We're going to be urgent. No more delays. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's what Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus or the Apostle Paul. Arise. No more delays. No more tomorrows. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, some were saying, well, come, let us go do this and let us go do that. And we've got plenty of time to do this or that. We're not to boast of tomorrow, Proverbs 27 verse 1. We don't know if we are going to have another tomorrow. Let's do it today. Think about how that we can have sins washed away today. Today, 2 Corinthians 6:2, is that day of salvation. Let us help you to make your life right with God. Why do you wait, dear sinner? Thank you for joining us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.